in the saddle for Behind the Beard WNC, a podcast where a group of friends get together and banter about all number of subjects, but it's usually always around football and high school football primarily. Joined as always by Lewis Anderson, Mike Anderson, a full compliment with Derek and Carson as well. And guys, I'm back after a great time in the Caribbean. I got to tell you something that was really, really great. I leave for this trip, right, a day ahead of time. Mary and I get down there. Football's going on that whole weekend. Mary and I are staying in a hotel down there in Florida that first night. We got to find a place to go watch the football games on Sunday, right? My Commanders are in action. Washington facing off against the Chicago Bears. And it looked absolutely catastrophic for Washington. And then the very end, the heaving pass. The Hail Mary grab, and it's absolutely mayhem in the bar restaurant that we're hanging out in. It was fantastic. But you know what was even better was when I texted you guys about it, and then Carson chimed in immediately with his commentary.
Is he one to give the bird?
Yeah. You know.
It's so great to have Pat back on this week. Wish that he was off the saddle, lost in the Caribbean. I mean, we have to talk about this back-to-back weeks.
Yes.
I'm currently seeing a therapist. Me and my brother have talked about which teams give us the most mental health issues. And I think we both came to the conclusion that the Bears are at the top of that list.
I figured it'd be Carolina football.
Carolina football was a close second for Landon. Carolina football is up there as well. But the expectations... It just football's king, NFL, with all the buzz, with Caleb, this and that. I mean, I saw a stat that the Bears coach has not won a road playoff game on a Sunday in the NFL. Sundays are when you play your NFL games. I'm glad Pat could come back and bring that memory. What a treat.
I mean, it was awesome. And then we obviously have plenty of other football going on this weekend. Obviously, a big battle over in ACR with Asheville. That was exciting, to say the least. And then you guys saw the rest of it. I was obviously in a blur and didn't pay much attention. So I'll do a lot of listening today.
It was a great weekend of football and racing. And I was in Nashville this week. We got wrecked on the last three laps.
Oh, yeah. First four laps 2 weeks ago.
Yes, the last four three. This year. Same guy was caught up in it the second time that caused it the first time.
Which one hurts the most, the first four or the last four?
Well, so when we got wrecked in the first four, we came back to finish in the top three.
Yeah.
So it's definitely getting wrecked with a chance to win four to go.
I got you.
In Nashville.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Because I was already – this is probably my fault. I was thinking in my head – in the big, this is big race season, right? It's the special events. It's Winchester, it's Nashville, it's Cordell, it's a snowball derby. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have a fifth, a third, and at least a third in the three big so far. And then we got wrecked.
What place you end up in?
Maybe like 18th. I really don't know. It was terrible. Mm. Just getting wrecked there. So,
Lewis, what did you do?
I just hung out this weekend. Saturday I went to a Renaissance fair. Which is quite interesting. I've never been to one before, but...
So Pat remembers when that was actually, like, what was going on.
Yeah, but it was actually a pretty fun time, but something I've never done and checked off. I've checked that box now.
Did you have a sword and wear, like, a
I did not dress up
vest?
At all.
Did you joust?
No, but I was at a joust, and I seen plenty of people dressed up, and I will not do that.
Why didn't you dress up?
It's just not my scene.
Okay, all right.
Lewis and tights would be something
that would be.
You might have been kicked out, but that would.
You're more than welcome to subscribe to my OnlyFans.
I mean, Lewis dressed up as a Confederate soldier. I mean, oh boy,
what's that have to do with the Renaissance?
What's the Renaissance? I don't
medieval
know.
Times.
Medieval 1400s.
Now 1400s. 1450s. Okay. I don't know the Renaissance.
That's the North Buncombe education for you, there, folks.
Yes, there it is. Lewis and I did go to a Civil War reenactment.
That was real fun.
That's a whole different time frame.
1800s. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pat just cringed. His whole history teacher of him just almost died. It died inside a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little.
Derek, what do you big guy going on?
Yeah, my brother-in-law, he got married over the weekend, so we did the whole rehearsal dinner Friday, had the wedding Saturday, and that was down in Charleston. So we drove down there Friday morning and had a great time celebrating him and his new wife.
Was it annulment Sunday?
No, it was not. Okay, no, good. It was not. No.
He survived that.
And he's a Panthers fan, so the Panthers won on Sunday. That was a good wedding present for him. It was awesome. But, yeah, Friday night at the rehearsal dinner, the beverages were flowing, and I was getting text updates, and it made the week that I had in the picks a lot worse. but also better at the same time. I was able to cope with it a little bit easier on the receiving end of those beverages.
Mm. Carson?
I just watched a bunch of football. Worked in the yard, and it was a nice, relaxing weekend. So we're back at the house now, and still no clean water for the pregnant wife. So we're still battling that. But it was good. Did anybody watch the Penn State Ohio State game?
So at the racetrack, I did see the highlights.
I mean, it was one of those where you would think that, okay, this is the year Penn State's going to get them, and then Penn State. And it was just all Ohio State from the end till the end. You thought Penn State, you thought they were going to score. I think it was first and goal inside the 5, 3 halfback dives right up the middle, and then just an atrocious fourth down play. So one of those things, it's just like, ooh, it looked like the Bears offense.
Did you see the offensive line coach chase the offensive lineman?
Oh,
did you see that, Derek?
Yeah, ULM, wasn't it?
Yes.
Louisiana
yes.
Monroe. Yeah, yes. That was a bad look. Now, ooh. I did see this morning the tackle that was just getting reamed out. Now, the coach put his hands on. I do not condone that in any way, shape, or form. But the tackle and the coach both put out statements. The tackle said that they talked. And that he forgave him, and that everyone gets wrapped up in emotion, and you do, you know. But like I said, you know, never put your hands on a kid.
When I played football, when Pat and I played, we came off the sideline. They would grab our face mask and try to yank our heads off.
Yeah. Well, that just shows you how different times are. Because those college coaches, I mean, that's their life is to win and is winning football games.
They didn't ever choke you out or anything, though, right?
Nope, never happened.
Okay,
so Pat, I know sometimes you say, you know, we get off the rails.
Yes.
I want to play you a clip of how far off the rails we got last week.
This is not one that has me involved in it. So
well, no, you weren't here last week.
You wasn't on here.
Oh, okay.
Lewis, go ahead.
Rochambeau?
Yep. All right, here we go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ooh, scissors,
paper,
both.
Scissors, shoot.
Rock,
paper,
both.
Scissors, shoot. All right.
Carson, rock over scissors. Interesting choice by Lewis to go scissors there.
We literally did rock, paper, scissors on the podcast, and Derek did the play-by-play. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I should have got some pointers before you left, Pat, on my play-by-play. That was not good. The call was not electric at all, because it was an electric atmosphere as Lewis and Carson were sitting over here Rochambeauing.
Was there money exchanged over this?
This was who had to pick the Christ school game first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they both picked the same team.
Okay, so the issue is, guys, I'm trying to pick up games. So I would like to go last because...
No, that's not a luxury anyone gets. Sorry.
I'm just explaining
That is how it goes in golf, though. The worst player always goes last. So if you lose the last hole, you go last, and the guy that wins goes first, right?
Yes. So
that's the honor system.
That's the honor system, Lewis.
There's no honor on this podcast.
But this is not golf.
That's
either.
True.
This is football, boys.
Yeah, both those things are true.
What about the rumors? Have you guys heard anything from Fairview about how well the stream went? Is it true that Pat will no longer be a part of the show because of the uptick in viewership with him gone?
That's what I heard.
That's what I've heard as well.
I've heard he may have said
ratings were through the roof for Travis and Chris.
I've heard he said some things that may have got him removed.
Indeed.
Did you talk about drug dealers and stuff?
Wait, that was me.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
We live and learn.
Yeah, yes. We do.
So, first topic here, guys, I want to talk about real quick. Asheville School had a playoff game this week, Friday, at home, number one seed. They're supposed to play Wake County Academy. Wake County Academy mailed it in. They forfeited. They did not want to come up and play Asheville School.
Really?
As coaches... What's that teaching these young men?
It tells me that Asheville School should probably try and get in that bigger division because they probably – that shows you how little Wake County cares about football.
I mean, I realize Wake County is in Raleigh. I would assume that's a drive.
3.5 hours.
But come on. We're just quitting? We don't want to play.
Yeah, it's not a good look. And, you know, I think it would be different if – Asheville School was trotting out 6'5", 300 pounds all the way across the board. You know, then I think, you know, that's more of a safety issue for your kids. I know
McDowell's
back in the day, they went like 1-9 and had to go play Dudley. And they're like, no, Like, you know, I've got 30 guys that are all 5'8", 180 pounds soaking wet. They don't need to go play these Division I defensive tackles. I understand that. But this is it's not a good look at all.
No, I didn't like it. It didn't sit good. Saw, of course, the Akeems, they have a son at both schools, and I saw Rebecca at the game, and I said, neither one of y'all at the Asheville school? No, they forfeited. Wake County forfeited. I'm like, no way.
Did they at least tell them ahead of time? Or
I'm sure they did. Okay. I'm sure they did.
So. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. The kids, I mean, I don't, the kids deserve, I mean, those seniors.
I mean, they play the game for a reason.
Questionable for sure.
It was going to be Asheville school senior night because they haven't had a regular season game at home since.
That's crap.
So now it's this week. They're still at home. Second game or second round of playoffs is your senior night.
Interesting.
So
state semifinals, second round.
Yeah, the semifinals. Yeah. So wild. So the picks last week. I know 2 weeks ago we were all talking about how we were over 500. We were fantastic. We were the football gurus.
Yeah, not so much.
We didn't do so good this week. So leading the way this week, Carson and Mike were 5-5. Lewis and Pat 4-6. Derek 3-7. What happened, Derek?
I was sitting there Friday night and I was watching scores come in. You guys were texting me, and I just felt depressed. it was terrible, you know. And I sat there and stewed on it all weekend. And I thought to myself, you know, if I gave a press conference about my picks on Friday night, it would be the Tim Tebow speech that he gave after Florida lost in like 08, where I promise that I will put in the work. You will never see a podcaster put in more work than I will moving forward. I promise to be better. But we'll see if that comes to fruition this week. But
it's not easy picking against spreads.
It is not.
No. I would like to see Derek get have a press conference and move to tears for these picks. That would be something.
So we have a three-way tie for first, guys.
First three-way on the show.
Pat, Derek, and I are tied. Lewis, I'm sorry, that's not right.
That's not right.
I was
going to
say, I'm not.
Derek, Lewis, and Mike are tied for the lead.
Yep.
Sorry. Pat is second. Carson still well below 500.
Yeah. But I will say, I have gotten better.
You're catching up.
I was at the bottom of the barrel. I had 1 week where I think I went 1-8, and since then, I have turned the corner.
Well, it doesn't get much worse than that.
No, correct. So. I don't know. That would be tough to do. I think 0-8 or 0-9. Would you guys agree? Getting every pick wrong is about as impressive as getting every pick
right.
That may
be more impressive.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us have ever got them all wrong.
No.
Has anybody clean sweeped and got them all correct?
We have not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Mm. So, what an impressive week for me. But
yes. Humility.
But anyways, if I'm mathing correctly, I'm just 5 games out of first place.
And this is the last week of the regular season, so we're going to have less games going forward.
We're going to have some playoff. We'll have some playoff teams.
Yeah, but it'll be like 4 games a week.
It'll get smaller as we go.
Okay. So do you guys do – this is my first full season on the show.
Sure.
Do you guys do a regular season champ and then have like a playoff champ?
We don't do participation.
We don't want Carson to be able to catch up, so we got to keep going.
There you go. I love it.
So, I mean, it'll be a full slate the first week and pretty full the second, but then by the third, you're down to just a couple teams generally.
Yes.
Could be wrong.
Yeah, so I may just have to just pick against, but it will be very tough to make up 5 games on 3 individuals at this table.
Will be tough.
That's true.
I am due for a 1-9 because I'm usually not very good. So let's talk about last week's games. What do you think?
Let's do it.
So first up, a late addition to our slate last week, we added Mitchell at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage gets the win 54-12. Pat Lewis and Mike got this one right. Mount Heritage was a 32.5-point favorite. What did Derek say about this game?
A 35-point favorite.
Well, yes, but I really think that Mitchell has a chance to at least hang in there and make it a game.
They did not.
No.
54-12.
I will say, it was at halftime. Or at one of the score updates, I was like, okay, we just got to hang on. It's 30. That's a lot of points.
That was probably the first quarter.
Then obviously Mountain Heritage pulls away. I think on one of the Twitter updates, it looked like you know, within 5 minutes, it was Mountain Heritage touchdown, Mountain Heritage touchdown, Mountain Heritage touchdown. I was like, ooh, that's 21. And they were already up 21. So that's not good for me. Good.
Mountain Heritage is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think anything less than a state championship for them will be a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. And I think that's the conversations going around every locker room out there that's played them or in that conference.
How special would it be for Burnsville that's gone through all this stuff? I mean, I can tell you right now, I think all of us would be pulling for them.
100%.
To bring a state championship back.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a Hollywood script for sure, waiting to happen.
So next up, we had Owen traveling to Rosman. Owen was a 17.5-point favorite. Lewis, what'd you have to say about this one?
Everything they've been through this year, a couple different things, but really hopeful we get this win. That's what I said.
Actually, you said, I think Owen wins by 40.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. That's
I think you may have put the wrong clip in there.
That's funny. Put the wrong clip in.
I've been waiting all day for that button push. And I'm
this is what we get for Lewis being in charge.
Never.
Oh, wait, guys, wait. I did find the right clip.
Lewis, what do you think about this one?
I think Owen's going to go out, put a 40-piece on him, and Owen's going to take this game no problem. This is when we see everything click. I love playing Rosman. Hate everything they've been through this year, a couple different things, but really hopeful we get this win.
Rosman gets the win 29-27. They did not put a 40-point up on
him. They did not.
The 40-piece, is that a McNugget? Is that a...
It's like your picks. They just don't come to fruition.
So listen to this. I got a few stats. Owen doesn't do stats, but Rosman does.
Doesn't do stats.
Their quarterback was 1 of 1 for 46 yards. He had a perfect QB rating, right?
There you go.
Running back Quentin Ford had 6 carries for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Garrett Connor led the way on defense with 11 tackles. 1 of 1 for 46 yards.
Indeed.
One pass. Were they playing in 1980 or what?
Well, that's how Rosman always plays. You know, they do that little misdirection, and yeah.
Wow.
So
sorry, Lewis.
It's okay.
That would have been my lock of the week too. Was
100%
Owen winning?
Yeah. The spread. When I went back and looked at, I was like, was this right?
Tough night.
Yeah, for sure.
So next up, we had a first round playoff game over in Arden as Charlotte Latin took on Christ School. Go ahead and play Carson's clip here.
And I'm going to go with the Greenies, an absolute beatdown. Jackson Cancel is going to run the ball down Charlotte Latin's throat. They're going to be speaking English after the game.
he wasn't wrong, guys. Jackson Cancel, 20 carries, 328 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Carson nailed it.
I mean, can we just encapsulate? I mean, I know ball. I mean, if I've gotten one take right, I got one. I saw that one coming for sure.
Hey, good job, Carson.
Thank you.
So Holtzclaw was 10 of 14 for 182 and 2 touchdowns. As a team, Christ School rushed for 470 yards. Wide receiver Cooper Kirby had his best game to date, 3 catches, 121 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jordan Angecombe had 9 tackles. And as a team, Christ School had 15 pass deflections.
How many yards do you say he was away from a record?
Was 9 yards nine and yards. 1 touchdown away from the school record.
And he didn't play in the fourth quarter, correct?
Didn't play.
What do you think about the coach? Like, hey, you got to get him in there.
Derek said it. It's statistician and the coach not understanding the situation.
That's on the stat guy for sure.
That's on the stat
guy. The coach has no idea.
Right.
But okay. The stat guy has to get in his ear.
I mentioned it to one of the Christ School football players, and he said, I don't think we have a statistician. They just do it all after the game off Max Preps.
That's tough.
Well,
that makes sense.
They don't have a live stat guy. So
yeah,
with all the money they have over there, they don't have someone that does the stats.
Mike, did you pitch a future job opportunity?
No.
There you go.
No. So we all got this one correct. We all picked Christ School, and we did not jinx them, thank goodness. So next up we had Irwin at North Buncombe. North Buncombe was getting 48.5 here. What did Carson say about this one? Carson?
I'm taking Irwin as well. I mean, Irwin may get to 70 points.
Irwin did not get to 70. In fact, they didn't cover as they win 56-14, and none of us got this one correct.
Yeah, I'm just the only thing is Irwin must have just been looking ahead because that was Asheville gets to 54 at halftime on North Buncombe, and Irwin scores 56 total in the entire game.
What I really think it is behind the beard curse. I mean, We picked four games, all of us picking the same thing. Only the cross school paid out.
That is very true.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good lesson that you shouldn't gamble.
They said North Buncombe, the first drive of the game, drove down and scored a touchdown on them.
It was also North Buncombe senior night, that correct?
It was homecoming senior, I'm sure.
Something?
Yeah, it was homecoming for
sure. They were all pumped up. Listen, it's easy to look past that game if you're Irwin. You got Reynolds the next week. You want to stay healthy.
You're just trying to get through. And you know, like we've talked about many times before on this show, the bottom of the MAC is as bad as it's ever been. And, you know, when you can sleepwalk through a win, you're only going to get your guys up for so many games a year, and North Buncombe's just not one of them.
Mike, did you have a conversation with the coach about it this week?
I did not. I did not talk to Coach Pruitt this week. So, next up, we had Tuscola at North Henderson. North Henderson was given 16.5. Tuscola gets the win, 20-12. We all got this one correct. For Tuscola, Jet Bartley was 4 of 8 for 58 yards. Gavin Langley rushed it 12 times for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ty Walker also rushed it 15 times for 106 yards and a touchdown. And Walker Bolden, as always, led the team in tackles with 14. So Tuscola gets the win, guys. Another good win for Tuscola. They've had a rough patch of about 3 games. So next up is the guys, Smoky Mountain at West Henderson. West comes in as a 10.5-point favorite. I think we thought West would roll here. In fact, play what Derek had to say about West Henderson.
Yeah, Smokey, a gritty team. You know, they seem to always find a way to be in the game late, but not this week.
What did Mike say about West Henderson? I'm also taking West Henderson. I think they cover. They beat Smoky Mountain, and they ride off into the sunset as the Mountain 7 Conference champions. Yeah, yeah. One other clip. Can you maybe play my boys?
I'm not going against my boys at West Henderson.
A surefire way to win is have Carson beat your boys. Because Asheville, West Henderson, my boys, both lost.
Yeah, that was – I don't think any of us saw this happening.
Jeez. Final score, Smoky Mountain 47, West Henderson 28. I have some interesting stats I'd like to share.
Please do.
So for Smokey, Jerick Jones, quarterback, he was 5-7 through the air for 67 yards and a touchdown. He rushed it 17 times for 253 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's a 14.9 yards per carry average. Aiden Johnson rushed it 26 times for 260 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a 10-yard per carry average. They were the only two guys that rushed the football for obvious reasons. West not able to stop the run. As a team, Smoky Mountain rushed for 513 yards.
If you're the DC today, what does the DC – I mean, first off, do you show up today? I mean, this is an honest question.
I mean, listen, Smoky averages 300-plus yards a game anyway.
They just came
out and dominated. That's the offensive line getting it done.
Yeah. That's what it was, yeah.
That is. But and we'll talk – I mean, we talked about the three-way tie. You know, Mike, what's it look like?
We haven't talked about it yet.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. So, you know, with this loss, Mike thought they were going to ride off into the sunset.
Right.
I thought my boys were going to handle business. Business right. was not handled. But there is still a path for them to win.
Yes.
So it looks like they have to beat East Henderson. Which should happen. And if Franklin beats Smokey this week, then West Henderson is your conference champions because West has the tiebreak over Pisgah.
Yeah, so Pisgah, Smoky Mountain, West, all 4-1 in the conference. Derek said early on, the winner of the Mountain 7 will have a loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't think it would be turning out like this, though.
He was going Franklin, who is currently in fourth place.
Yeah.
He was at West Henderson, too. I mean, right off the big win. I'm very shocked by this.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be interested if there were some sort of factors there that we don't know about.
But yeah.
Giving up 500 yards rushing and losing by, 19 at home.
I mean, 47. What's the other? I wonder what their highest total they've given up this year.
That's it. 47.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's probably not. Has it been 30 this year?
No.
I don't think they've given up 30.
I think they gave up 30 to Murphy. I think that was like a 33-31 game early.
Did Murphy run on them?
Oh, yeah. That's all Murphy does is run.
Yeah.
You okay. So get down there.
So it looks like the path to taking care of West is just
running the football.
Oh, well, I'd hate for Christ School to play them.
Or Reynolds.
Yeah, for sure. Or Asheville.
Yeah.
So.
So we'll get to the conferences a little more in a minute. Next up, Pisgah at Franklin. Carson alluded to it. Franklin was a 14.5-point favorite at home. Pisgah gets the win, 24-7. Carson, Mike, Derek, get this one right. Quarterback Aaron Clark for Pisgah only played one half. He was 8 of 14 for 118 and then had an undisclosed injury, did not play the second half. Landon Pope rushed it 23 times for 68 yards. Guys, that's only a 3 yards per carry average, a little bit less than Smokies. For Franklin, quarterback Terrell was 9 of 19 for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns. And running back Braden Harvey had 15 carries for 45 yards. Just no offense for Franklin. Pisgah put the clamps down.
But this game couldn't have been at Franklin because of how tough Derek said it was to win there.
Yeah.
There's no way this game.
This was the last game at the pit, too. They're moving.
It is the last.
And it's like, boys, I mean, they literally brought every player that has ever played in the pit and brought them to midfield at halftime.
And they burned the pit out.
they were ready to burn it down after Friday night.
Oh,
I tell you.
My goodness. If Franklin does not take care of business this week, and that three-way tie in the Mountain Seven, if what we think could happen is actually three numbers go into a hat and you hope that you draw
it's Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights. I mean, it's just. We got to get a live. I mean, there's got to be a live feed from that because that's an all time. But at this, and we'll get to the picks. But Franklin not trending in the right direction. Smoky Mountain trending in the right direction. So, and we'll get to that game. But that doesn't seem like if you're West, you no longer control your own destiny.
West is that's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One week they take care of business, and the next week they lost two in a row, and then they won several in a row, and.
But we were just giving praise because wasn't every game before this one within one score?
Six straight weeks.
Yeah, we were back on the West Henderson bandwagon. It's West Henderson.
Yeah, I was all in.
Well, you give up 500 yards, that's a good way to get kicked off the bandwagon. Derek Green is no longer on the West Henderson bandwagon after Friday night, I can tell you that.
So next,
next
up is TC at Robbinsville. Lewis has told us for years you can't go to Robbinsville and win. It's just not possible. You can't do it. TC was a 21.5-point favorite. They win by 24. So TC gets the win. Only person who got this one right, interestingly enough, is Lewis.
So, yes, not only did TC go in and win, but they covered.
They did. 24-0. No points for Robbinsville. Also, no stats on this game, so we're not able to tell you what happened.
Yeah, and I
can tell you what happened. It was a shellacking.
Yeah.
And Robbinsville, even with the officials on their side, they could not get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, and I think this goes to show the gap between, the top, or well, I say the top, a 4A program like Robertson and a 1A school like Robertson. Robbinsville. Even on the road with everything stacked against you, you still whip them 24-0 and come back from the Big Oaks a happy camper.
So next up, we have a overtime thriller. We had a pick'em, McDowell at Inca. What did Derek say about the Inca game?
Right. I will break the tie, and I'm going to go Inca to win. I think Inca out-athletes McDowell. Not often you can say.
Inca out-athletes McDowell. No, McDowell wins 20-14.
I got some messages about Derek's comment. How athleting. They said, was Derek talking about the correct game? Derek was, in fact, talking about Inca and McDowell. Mike's got the stats. Give us some stats, Mike.
So for McDowell, they're on their third quarterback, Charlie Brown. He was 7 of 14 for 89 yards and an interception. Hunter Pittman rushed it 8 times for 59 yards and 2 touchdowns. As a team, McDowell rushed it for 175 yards. For Inca, Logan Trantham, quarterback, 2 of 6 for 14 yards and 2 interceptions, while running back Tommy McKinney, 26 carries, 117 yards and a touchdown. As a team, they rushed for 199 yards.
So it sounds to me like nobody got 250 yards of offense, right?
That is correct.
My math is mathing. Sounds like a lot of punts. was a
we're a going forward on fourth down.
A fun one to watch and in Inca on Friday night, but I think Inca was up early and I was feeling good, and then the wheels fell off.
Yeah, I mean, Inca's like Derek's. Most of Derek's picks, Inca, it's a super tough place to play. but McDowell coming in gets the win.
You can't go into Inca and win.
You can't.
No. What's Inca's nickname?
The what?
What's the? You got the pit. You got the big oaks. What's the?
I don't even know.
There's no
the cemetery.
Oh boy.
As quiet as it is.
So finally, we got the Asheville at Reynolds game, and we're going to have a special call. We have Travis Clayton, co-host of the podcast, of the live stream with Pat and Chris.
Isn't he the new host replacing Pat?
He's the one replacing Pat who didn't bother to show up this week. So it was Chris and Travis this week, and we have Travis on the line. Travis, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. It was a interesting Friday night replacing Pat. I know it's tough for him getting there, being a boat captain and airline pilot and all that fun stuff.
Agony.
Absolutely. We made it work.
That's good. So Reynolds picks up the win. It looked like Asheville had the lead early. What'd you see there at the game?
So, yeah, early in the game, Asheville pretty much did what they wanted to do. Meek Slidell, I mean, he threw three touchdown passes in the first half uncontested. You know, Max Guest had a big run there late in the second quarter, I believe, you know, to get it to 21-7 before the half. And then, you know, coming out of halftime, Max had another explosive run of 70-plus yards. And then you had Tremaine Keeter get a punt return. But the big thing that happened was they were able to get pressure on Slidell and only held them to 6 points. I think another turning point in the game was when Coach Radford decided to go for two and try to make it a three-point game. And the Rockets defense stepped up and kept that from happening. And then obviously Rossi Santilli's big 42-yard kick to take the lead with 3 points at the end of the game there.
It's got to be a huge advantage to have a kicker who kick it 42 plus yards. Would that kick have been good from further back?
I think he probably would have hit from a little over 50, to be honest. I mean, you just don't see that kind of leg at the high school level. I mean, you don't see that leg in some college levels right now.
That's a huge weapon for Reynolds for sure going forward.
Hey, no doubt.
Travis, I caught the very end of the live stream when we landed back in Asheville. And Chris was saying something about the ball had been bouncing very well for Reynolds. Was something going on with the turnover? What was the story with that? I didn't catch the whole thing.
Yeah, one thing that really hurt Reynolds in the first half was they just had some penalties. Then they had, and there's a lot of stuff going on that has to be from transitioning from Eli Hamrick being the quarterback to Max being the quarterback, and then guys switching personnel around. So you're having to basically reinvent the wheel right here mid-season to keep things going and try to make a run at things. So yeah, there's probably some timing issues that aren't working out, and mesh point issues going on between Max and the other running backs. But they were able to clean up that stuff, and really in the second half they cleaned up the penalties. A lot of those pre-snap penalties, the false starts and stuff like that, they didn't have those come second half like they did in the first.
Travis, so now this is back-to-back games where Reynolds goes into halftime, makes the adjustments, comes out the second half. What were the vibes like at the end of the first half going into halftime? Did because of what happened the week before, was everybody pretty confident that, they're going to come out, play different? Or was it like, oh, this is, hopefully Max breaks one, which he ended up doing. But what were the vibes like in the stadium?
I think, we saw just two different teams. You saw a team with TC that kind of a ground-to-town kind of offense with that triple-type option versus let's sling it down the field and with, having uncontested receivers. My thought was, hear a lot of college games talk about controlling the middle eight. Reynolds was able to get that score right there right before halftime, and then they got the ball back in the second half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had that opportunity right there to, one, get points on the board and only be down to, by two scores. And then, you know, obviously Coach Radford going for two right there kind of helped keep things a little closer than maybe what they would have if he'd have gone for the, just the extra point and got it. Or if he'd have gone for the two, he'd gone up by two scores at that point. But I think you got a team now that has a very different culture about it, a very different attitude. And they're leaning on each other and believing in each other to get things done. That's kind of what we've seen both weeks, just kind of a different attitude about it or a different way of managing the game.
Yeah, so, Travis, this is Derek. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Derek. And you?
Hanging in there, brother, hanging in there. So, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, halftime adjustments and being able to control that control the ball and win those last 2 minutes of the second half, or last 2 minutes of the first half, first 2 minutes of the second half. What did you see from the Reynolds defense other than, you know, just the pressure on Meek? You know, we talked a little bit on the podcast last week about if Reynolds is able to pressure Meek and make him make off-platform throws, and it sounds like that's what happened in the second half.
That's exactly what happened in the second half. They were able to get pressure on him in the backfield, and they were able to contain Caden Ray, or not Caden, I mean, not Caden Ray, but their running back, yeah, keep him bottled up to where they just held them to 6 points in the second half.
Yeah, and like we talked about, you know, you don't want to play Reynolds and be behind, because this offense is just going to ground and pound now with Max back there. But I mean, the explosiveness showed up in the second half for Reynolds too, where, you know, if they do get behind, I mean, Max can break off a big run and the game gets flipped on its head in a hurry. So, I mean, great things from Reynolds on Friday night.
Yeah, and that was one of my concerns moving forward with Reynolds was with their offense. You got Max back there. Everybody's expecting the run. At some point, you're going to have to figure out how to throw the ball, you know, downfield more than 10 yards. You know, and he had a couple of those. Mm-hmm. Tremaine Keeter dropped a big, you know, 20, 25-yard pass. But at least they got it out there and say, hey, we can do this.
Yeah.
We might not have caught it on this one, but we can sling it down the field a little further than what you think, and we're not going to let you stack eight in the box on us.
100%.
Well, you know, Travis, what's your outlook? And we've not got to the game yet, but what's your outlook for next week? For this week, actually.
Man, I tell you what, I'm going to be completely honest. With Hamrick leaving, I thought – that we were going to struggle a lot worse than what we did. But Max Guest has put this team on his shoulders, and I think this coming week's anybody's game. I think it's going to be whoever's defense wants it the worst is who's going to win the game.
It's nice when your best player gets the ball more than seven times a game.
Without a doubt. I think he had 250-some yards rushing this week.
281.
281, okay.
Some are giving us credit for demanding that he gets the ball more. I'm not some of those people, but Travis, that's what word on the street is.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one of the best football players in the state, and like I've heard discussed on here before, only 12 touches a game.
Yeah, that is our stat. That is definitely 12, yes. That is well. That's just our information that we give. That's the stats that were put up. Oh man.
Yep.
Travis, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, other things we should say. Travis is the Boosters president for AC Reynolds High School, and he's my color commentator for basketball season. And Chris,
yes,
Chris
that's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's coming up, but we've got to put the schedule in for that. Chris doesn't like to do basketball. It's beneath him. So
between – you're the treasurer, correct?
Not anymore.
No. Not anymore. No. Okay, I was going to say, with you being the treasurer and – Travis being the president.
No, we had a good thing
going there
for a little
while. Are we
talking
to the two most powerful people in Fairview?
You would have been, yes.
Yeah. I mean, past that down, he still is.
Agony. All right, Travis, thank you. We appreciate you talking to us.
Hey, I got one more question.
Go ahead.
Hey, Lewis, how's your fantasy football team doing this weekend?
Have you looked at my bench? There's like five IRs on there.
Hit the waiver wire.
Travis
there's nothing
is,
out there.
Travis
yeah,
is
I mean,
also
those things are like baseball cards. You can trade them and get new ones.
Travis also in our fantasy football league, and it sounds like he's playing Lewis this week.
It was last week.
No, last week, this week, but I'm looking at the scoreboard right now. And
it's not good. It's not
poor Lewis is down and out going into Monday Night Football.
Look at that bench real quick.
That's awesome. Travis, we appreciate it.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
So, yeah, just to give a few stats on the Reynolds game. So, Meek Slidell, 10 of 13 for 3 touchdowns. I did notice he had 5 rushes for 1 yard. That means he was probably running for his life there. Yeah. Kaheem Plummer, 19 rushes, 116 yards, and a touchdown, while Josh Ellis rushed it 9 times for 72. Kareem Williams had 5 catches for 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. Max, fantastic game for Max. 3 of 7 for 26. He rushed it 20 times for 281 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Edwin Santiago led the way on defense with 7 tackles and a sack.
Yeah, it's like Travis said, you don't have to throw it a lot, you just have to throw it enough. And I think, you know, even the incomplete passes is a big enough threat.
Indeed.
I do hate it for my guys at Asheville. I do. I know we talked about my guys, but it just, when you talk about this, it's like you take those, what was Max's first touchdown? Does anybody remember? Was it 60-something yards?
It was 6 points.
Yeah, 6 points is what it was. Then he had an 80-yard touchdown run and a punt return. So it's like those were 3 big plays that, you know, gave Reynolds 21 points.
And listen, the only 2 people to get this one right, Carson and Mike.
Did you say Carson and Mike?
Carson and Mike.
All right. I just was making sure.
Yeah, we got this one right.
We've said this a numerous times, but good teams win. Reynolds was a good team.
Yeah.
They were.
Great teams cover.
Asheville Cougars were a great team.
That's right. So let's talk about the standings real quick. We'll talk about the MAC. So Irwin Reynolds, both 4-0 playing this week. That's going to be for the 3A championship, guys. In 4A, Asheville 2-1, TC 1-2. Obviously, TC wins. They will hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, and TC will be the champion. So Asheville TC, they play for the 4A championship this weekend. McDowell has 1 win. Inc. and North Buncombe have not won in conference. And as we've already talked about a little bit in the Mountain 7, you have Pisgah, Smoky Mountain, and West. They're all tied at 4-1. And listen to this. Pisgah has lost to West, but they beat Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain lost to Pisgah, but beat West. And West, well, they lost to Smoky Mountain, but they beat Pisgah. So everybody's beat somebody, and it's a 3-way tie. Like Carson mentioned, we could have a random draw here next Monday, I would assume.
Talk about going to Cherokee and stuff. I may just go over there.
Yeah. I guess it would have to be Saturday because they have to have the brackets out by Sunday.
It'd probably be Saturday morning.
Yeah, usually after the last week of the conference season, all the coaches get together like that Saturday morning. They'll go to J&S or something like that, or a school, and they'll do their all conference meeting, and then they'll, you know, handle anything administratively that needs to be handled, and this would be one of those things. Mm-hmm. And I do hope they go Facebook Live. It does remind me, Georgia. In their playoff, they seed it by region, so it's kind of like a pod system, and there's a lower half of the bracket and a top half of the bracket, and they'd only do like 4 teams in each one. And the head of the GHSA or AA or whatever it is, he flips a coin on Facebook Live to see if the top half or the bottom half of the bracket, if 2 1 seeds meet, who gets the home game.
Wow.
So
wow.
Electric content from Georgia.
Absolutely.
North Carolina needs to learn and do the same. Yeah. And Mountain 7 needs to do the same on Saturday.
So Franklin, the early favorite there at 3-2, Tuscola 2-3, North Henderson 1-5. East Henderson has yet to win a conference game. So that's what we got. We'll talk just a minute about the playoff predictions. These are coming from the high school overtime. Looking like a good fair amount of 3A teams going to make it. Currently, if the predictions hold true, Pisgah would get in as a 16 seed. Reynolds would get in as a 12 seed. That's assuming Irwin wins this week. And they would play maybe an East Lincoln with a second-round matchup against Dudley. Tuscola, a 30 seed. They would be one of the last 5 in. Smoky Mountain, a 19 seed. West, they're assuming it wins the conference. They would be a 7 seed, taking on South Rowan. Franklin gets in as an 18 seed, playing Ashbrook and Irwin. picking up the two seed.
So when they published this, they were predicting Irwin to win, or is that your input?
Well, currently Irwin has a better overall record at 7-1
okay.
as opposed to 5-3
Okay.
And I would believe that would be why they would currently have Irwin. Obviously,
they published that, not you, right?
That would be the high school overtime.
I would agree with Mike. That's probably what it is.
In 4A, TC looking like a 16 seed, while Asheville could pick up the 7 if Asheville beats TC on Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a big battle. That's a battle for a home playoff game, potentially two home playoff games, depending on what happens.
Yeah, so that could be big. So next up is our polls, our Pat polls. So we have the two polls we like to look at. The 828 poll we'll give real quick. This is also from the high school overtime. Hickory, Watauga, Mount Heritage, Erwin. That's the same top four as it has been for a while. Asheville School jumped to 5, Reynolds to 6, Brevard to 7, Asheville High fell to 8, Murphy 9, TC 10. So that's our poll. Now it's time. Some people say this may be the most liked segment of the podcast. Derek's Dirty Dozen.
Derek's Dirty Dozen, top 10 of the week. I almost cut it to like 8 or 7 because, you know, the West Hendersons of the world, they didn't handle their business on Friday night, and they kicked me off the bandwagon after I jumped on with that loss to Smokey on Friday. But knocking down 5 spots, I've got them sitting there at number 10 after that loss. I've got West Henderson at 6-3. Still have a chance to win the league, but they're at number 10. They fall 5 spots to the bottom of the Dirty Dozen.
They could be the Mountain 7 champs.
Could be. Now, let's look at the teams above them now.
Okay.
At number 9, first appearance ever in Derek's Dirty Dozen, is Smoky Mountain. They are sitting there at 6-3. Huge win. You don't have almost 600 yards rushing and not get in Derek's Dirty Dozen.
What a fair weather guy. So, what a fair weather.
No, I'm simply rewarding those that play well.
Listen, you get those kind of yards rushing.
Hey, just wait for the next. I hear Rosman made the list.
Potentially.
Now, Mike said earlier that Smoky Mountain's getting, what, 300 yards a game average on the ground?
Yeah.
So they're doing all right on the ground.
They're getting after it.
I've got to give Derek a hard time.
They got some nice linemen.
And, you know, no one loves to throw the ball more than I do. I think everyone.
That's what's surprising about this.
But when you ground and pound and you put up 600 yards rushing or 550 or whatever it was, you know, you deserve to be rewarded. And credit goes to the Mustangs of Smoky Mountain. At number 8, I've got the TC Robertson Rams. You know, Lewis talks about how good they are all the time. And, you know, you just don't go into Robbinsville and cover that often, and they did it. So I probably wrote them off a little bit too early, hand up over here. But I've got Robertson sitting there at 4-3. They're the number 8 team. Up one spot, you know, after the big forfeit win, I got Asheville School sitting there at 5-1.
He said the big forfeit win.
Yeah, so congrats to the Blues. You know, they'll probably win a state championship again, and then they'll get humbled on the 22nd of November whenever they play Christ School. Up 4 spots, huge win for them. I got number 6, Pisgah, 7-2. And I really think, you know, looking back at that West Henderson game, a lot of rust was on the Pisgah Bears that Friday night in Bethel. You know, their field, their community had been destroyed. West Henderson, they rolled into Bethel and shocked them with a 3-point win. And I really think that's one that Pisgah would like to have back. Obviously, they would love to have it back because they lost. But I think if they played 5 times, I think Pisgah wins 4 of them. So I've got Pisgah sitting there at number 6. At number 5, falling just one spot, is going to be Asheville at 4-2. And I think, you know, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but the gap between the Mountain 7 and the MAC, I think it's a little bit bigger than what we initially thought going into last week. You know, we kind of thought West Henderson was leaps and bounds better than everybody else. They hadn't lost a game, and then you give up 550 yards on the ground.
And lose by 20.
And lose by 20, yeah. You know, the one common denominator there was the Robertson. Robertson played Smoky Mountain early in the year. I don't know if you guys remember that, but does anybody remember that score? 49-7 with a Robertson win.
Ooh.
So the gap between Mountain 7 and MAC is is leaps and bounds in the MAC's favor. And at number four, I've got Brevard at 6-2. They whooped up on the Mountain Seven. They beat Pisgah 35-0 to start the year off. A road loss to Knoxville Catholic, and Knoxville Catholic, you know, phenomenal private school team out of Tennessee. But I think Brevard is one of the strongest teams in 3A in Western North Carolina, and I've got them sitting there at number four. And no change in my top three again. I've got Reynolds at number three, sitting there at 5-3. Huge win for them on Asheville, sets up the conference championship game Friday night against Irwin. Number two, Irwin, 7-1. And then just the team that nobody wants to play right now is the Mountain Heritage Cougars. They are running through people like poo through a tin horn, as Nick Saban used to say. I'll keep it PG for those with small children listening. But Mountain Heritage is just rolling, and I think they roll all the way to the Triangle area in late December and win a state championship. And that is Derek's Dirty Dozen, top 10 of the week.
Nice.
Woohoo.
What do you think, Pat? What would you change in there?
Nothing.
You'd put Reynolds first,
I'm sure. Of course. Yeah, Reynolds, number one.
Interesting. So you guys ready for this? We got some interesting games this week. Indeed. We got some tight battles.
We do.
We got some double headers. We got some stuff going on. You guys ready to get into it?
Let's do it. Come on, Michael.
I'm ready.
Fun week of high school football. This is why you play the games. This is why you sit around a table like we're doing right now and talk about them. It's for weeks like this, and you got to love it.
And we're skipping one of the most important segments for Mike Anderson.
What's that?
So the player of the week this week.
Oh, jeez. I did forget the
finally,
player. Carson,
finally,
you want to get the player of the week?
Finally, a Greeny gets on the board this week. We talked about it. Jackson Cancel, 20 carries, 328 yards, 5 touchdowns. Pretty unanimous, player of the week. Going up against the Charlotte Latin team, ended up making them speak English. All that came true. But Jackson, what a week. It was pretty special. Didn't even play the fourth quarter.
Carson,
but,
you were there. I mean, just watching him play.
Well, I'm sitting there, and it's like, I don't know. I didn't watch Barry Sanders play, but when my dad's like,
way too young.
I didn't. But when my dad's like, holy smokes, this kid, who is this guy? He looks like Barry Sanders. I'm like, every run he had, it was like, oh, you had him at the line of scrimmage. Oh, nope, he's 20 yards down the field. And then it's like, oh, he breaks one for 60. So I understand why the coach and the statistician, because like when me and my dad left at the probably midway through the third quarter, we were like, yeah, he has 500 yards. So, I mean, it was just, that's how, I can't imagine someone having more yards than he did, because every time he touched it, it was like domination by the line of scrimmage. And then also he's special with the football. So that was fun to see.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game to watch.
And as long as Christ School's been playing football, that record is probably in like the 1920s when they just turned around.
They did not do the forward pass.
Before the forward pass.
Yeah, before the forward pass.
Do you know the year?
I saw it, but I don't remember.
Was it like before the 50s?
I don't think it was that far back. I think it was the 80s, but I'm not sure.
The 80s, okay. So
even in the 80s, we didn't throw it much around here.
Right, right.
That was when Pat was, yeah.
He was in college.
I was going to say he graduated college in the 80s, for sure.
No. 1993.
Wow. Pat could actually be my dad.
That was in first grade.
I could also probably be your dad, Carson. So anyway, let's get to this week. Right off the bat, this is a big one, right? It's a big one. West Henderson 4-1, 6-3 overall, traveling over to East Henderson. They haven't won a conference game. West has got to win this game to have a chance to win the conference. East is getting 45.5 points.
I just have a question right out of the gate.
Go ahead.
Is there any one of you that has any doubt that West is going to win this game?
No, not at all.
None. Not even a small amount.
Yeah, so West is definitely going to win. So basically all we're talking about here is, will they cover this 45-point spread?
That's correct.
Correct. Correct.
All right, Pat, what do you think?
I think West is going to come in here and get this done. I think they're going to cover the 45 points, basically coming off of the devastation that they felt against Smoky Mountain there, and they're going to get it back. So I got West.
Carson?
I think East Henderson's going to cover 45.5 points. East Henderson's going to cover.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that.
That's fine.
Derek?
He saved the graphic right there. I was getting ready to go that way, and then Carson just did it for us.
Perfect.
I said it earlier. I jumped off the bandwagon, but I think West Henderson they come in pissed off and they run it up.
I bet they do.
So yeah. Listen, East a running team, Lewis. Can West stop the run?
I think they can against East for sure.
Okay. So you're taking West.
I am definitely going to take West.
I will also take West Henderson. I think that's not even close.
Perfect.
So next up we have RS Central. We don't cover a lot of RS Central. They're 4-5 overall, 2-2 in the conference. They're heading over to Brevard. Brevard getting ready to make their playoff run. Brevard 6-2, 4-0 in the conference. They've won 5 in a row. They haven't allowed a point, this is Brevard, in the last 3 games. RS Central's lost 2 in a row, and they're giving up an average of 50 in those 2 games. Mm. So Brevard is a 33.5 point favorite. Carson?
Yeah, I think that I don't know much about RS Central. I'm going to go with Brevard rolling. I don't know. So,
I don't know. All right.
Yeah. That's we can clip that for sure, but it's not one of my most confident picks, but I hope Brevard at home, you know, keeps rolling.
Should be senior night. Should be a good one.
I hope there's a lot of buzz. What's the name of Brevard Stadium, Derek?
I do not know.
Derek, who you get?
I got Brevard big. You know, the vibes were high at RS Central coming into the year. You know, they thought they had, you know, some guys that could keep games close and win some of those close games, and it's just not turning out well for them. I think they got smoked by East Rutherford last week.
By a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, Brevard rolls.
Lewis?
I'm also going with Brevard. I mean, average victory of 50 the last 2 games, and Brevard's a very, very good team, so I think they're definitely going to cover this.
Yeah, join me, Lewis. I like it.
I think it's Brevard as well, Pat.
That means you're not picking up a game.
Yeah, because I'm also going to go with Brevard. Okay. Brevard's going to get it done.
So next up could be considered the game of the week, guys.
I don't think so. To a lot of people, it is, for sure.
Inca at North Buncombe. North Buncombe getting 13.5. Inca a 13.5 point favorite. Inca 1-1 in the last 2, while North Buncombe's lost 4 in a row by an average of 59-9.
Ouch.
Derek, is Inca going to put up 59 on North Buncombe?
No, they will not. This is, I mean, just, I don't even know what to say about this game. It's just, it's not a good game. You know, I don't even have it circled on what I was going to pick because it's just so bad. But I think, give me the points. You know, if you're going to give me 13.5, I'll take the points. Give me the Blackhawks to cover the 13.5.
Lewis?
I'm also thinking Blackhawks. I mean, with some reports of some troubling situations coming out of Inca, I think that North Buncombe is going to get this done.
North Buncombe for me as well. I think I don't think Inca can stop the run game of the Blackhawks, and I think I think they take care of business this week.
I follow that lead. I'm going to take the points, 13 points.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with the Inca Jets here.
Whoa.
Look at this guy.
They're going to out-athlete North Buncombe.
Yeah.
play Derek's clip one more time.
Right. I will break the tie, and I'm going to go Inca to win. I think Inca out-athletes McDowell. Not often you can say.
Didn't work out for Derek.
Yeah. I think Inca out-athletes North Buncombe.
Okay. All right. So next up, Christ School headed to Georgia for the North Carolina State playoffs. Make it make sense, Lewis.
They're not in North Carolina.
Thanks.
Okay.
So Christ School 1-1 in the conference, 3-4 overall, has a second round playoff game at Raven Gap. Raven Gap 9-2 overall. Raven Gap's won their last 6 overall. In those last 6, they've won on an average of 52-16. They won in round 1 over North Raleigh Christian Academy, 52-7. For Christ School, they're on a roll of sorts. They've won 2 in a row. They played Raven Gap on 8-30. Not a close game in Arden as Raven Gap won 61-6. Can Christ School run the ball? That's going to be that's the question. Can Christ School run the ball, control the clock, and can they stop the pass, which is not Christ School's strength? Raven Gap a 45.5 point favorite. Lewis, who you taking?
I'm going Raven Gap on this one. I think with their history, but I mean, Christ School has figured out some things, so which might make them cover. But I'm going to go pick history.
Can't say that I blame you. Christ School, I think, comes out confident. They play well in the first half. They keep it close. I think Christ School covers.
I'm going to follow Mike's lead on this. I think Christ School is going to be able to keep it within the spread there. So I'm going to follow that.
Carson?
I'm going to go with The Greenies. I'm going to go with the Greenies. I just don't think it gets to 46 points. Christ School's kind of found something in their identity as far as their offense. I don't think they're going to ask the quarterback to throw the ball much. I do think they will have some success. And like Mike said, I think, you know, the first quarter, second quarter, I think the game, you know, could be within reason. I'm not going to say Christ School's going to be winning at halftime, but I do not think that I think Raven Gaps, you know, I think they make the second half push, but I don't think it gets to the running clock.
Derek?
Yeah, I got to go. I got to go with the Greenies right here. You know, I think they've kind of found their niche, their identity, so to speak. They've been able to run the football the last two times that they've played, and a lot's changed since August 30th. I think they learned a lot from watching that that beatdown that Raven Gap gave them at home. You know, always tough to go on the road in the playoffs, especially a big bus ride down to Georgia. But I like the Greenies to cover here.
My concern for the Greenies is their pass defense is not fantastic. Yeah. And Raven Gap is very big on the offensive line. It'll be hard to get pressure. So DB is going to have to step up and do something. But it can happen. It can happen. So next up, guys, Owen has a doubleheader this week.
Indeed.
We have ACA traveling to Owen. We've dubbed this the Battle of the Valley.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think it's something, you know, many people have been wanting for a while.
You guys need a trophy for this thing.
I know. That would be cool if we could keep this thing going, get a trophy, pass it back and forth.
So Owen knows stats, but for ACA, they've lost their last two post-storm, 35-18 and 30-7. They're led by their quarterback, Avery Hollifield. He's thrown it 275 times on the year, completed 164 of those. Guys, that's an average of 55 pass attempts a game. And this is Derek's dream job.
What's crazy about watching them? Two-step drop. Everyone.
356 yards a game, 16 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Running back Jack Holmes, former Christ School kid, leads the way on the ground. On the season, he has 6 carries for 71 yards. He's also the leading receiver with 138 yards a game. And Connor Williams leads the way with 12 tackles a game. Owen getting 5.5 here. ACA the favorite. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going ACA, and I'm going to tell you I think they win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Ooh, hot take. Hot take right
Clip
there.
It.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
They're going to make those DBs work, and I'm just not sure. Pat?
Yeah, I'm taking Owen. Yeah. I'm gonna get on Lewis's bandwagon over there and stay with Owen.
Carson?
I'm gonna go with ACA here. I will be pulling for Owen.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean where's all the banter when Owen loses to Rosman? I mean, I know it's our guy and this hurts, but Owen did us all wrong last week. I need them to come out, and this should be good for Owen that I'm picking ACA.
It should be.
It should be.
I agree.
I think it is. So please tell the boys. I'll have my Owen stuff on, but.
But I'm picking ACA.
Don't tell them. Oh, hell.
Listen,
damn it.
Listen, Carson will be at this game.
Yeah.
So stop by. You know where I sit at. Just stop by. Come say hey to Carson.
But this is not getting released till Wednesday morning, hopefully.
No, it's tonight.
So listen, it could be all of us. Could be Carson, Pat, Derek, and I all there hanging out.
Yeah. Indeed. Tacos and rice.
And fried rice. In the tailgate area.
Wow.
You guys have a tailgate section?
We do not. We will be creating one.
We'll create a tailgate section.
We probably
section.
Shouldn't have said that though.
Yeah. We're just gonna have some nice food. Derek?
Yeah. Anybody got a coin? Because I'm gonna flip one on this one. No. In all honesty, you know, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, and if this was a hypothetical game 3 weeks ago, I would have picked Owen hands down. But after Friday night, you know, Rosman, Owen, you just got to win that one. And I think this is going to be a battle of two different styles. Obviously, Owen wants to run the football. ACA is going to throw it. Everybody knows I love to throw the football. Give me the Gunslingers. I like the Lions to cover the 5.5 on Friday.
Did you ever coach a team where you threw it 55 times a game?
No. No, I think the most I ever threw it was 40-something times.
The running back has 6 carries on the season.
Yeah.
The season.
Hey, they have an identity.
They,
you know?
They do.
Some pass plays can be extended handoffs, but, you know, kudos to them. They've found an identity, and it seems to work for them, I guess, and maybe it works for them Friday night. We'll see.
Lewis?
The one thing that concerns me is that Owen's not played a team that prefers the pass, right? It, you know, all the teams we play, we're all run teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be a big Pandora's box over there, but I will be going with Owen. I'm confident that they can finally get a win this year, and glad it will be against a team in the Valley.
So, next up, we have another Owen game. Friday night. Is it Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday, Owen travels to Madison. Madison 1-2 in the conference, 1-6 overall. Madison beat Rosman 9-0 in a offensive showcase. Madison, they throw it for about 81 yards a game and rush it for 48 yards a game. Derek, is my math correct? Is that less than 150 yards of a game of offense?
It is. It is. You are correct. Your math is mathing there, as they say.
Okay. So, this game's a pick 'em. Pat, who are you picking in this pick 'em?
I'm on Owen squared. Let's keep it rolling. Owen.
Owen's going to get the win. Carson?
Madison.
Wow. Wow. I'm pulling for Owen, but I'm picking against him twice.
Carson will be at the game Tuesday.
I will be pulling for Owen.
Derek?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said before, I just can't pick Owen right now. You know, after losing to Rosman, I got to go Madison, getting 5.5.
Pick 'em. It's a pick 'em.
It is pick 'em. Excuse me. I still think Madison wins.
Lewis?
I'll be picking Owen.
I think Madison wins this one.
Oh, my God.
I think it's going to be a close one.
I don't know if we're going to be welcome tomorrow.
Maybe 6-3, but it's going to be a close one.
Everyone in the Valley knows Lewis. You know, if you see us, come say hello. We'd love to meet you.
Please do. Please do. Just remember Derek and Pat are the Reynolds guys.
Indeed.
No, yeah. I may have to tell my wife goodbye before I go over there.
So next up, this really could be a fantastic football game. We have Franklin at Smoky Mountain. This has some conference championship implications. Smoky Mountain getting 6.5 from Franklin. Smoky Mountain lost to Pisgah 31-21, but have won 4 straight since of an average 41-21. Rushing in their last 4 games, guys, 618 yards, 217 yards, 316 yards, and 513 yards. That's a total of 1,664 yards in 4 games and an average of 416 a game. Franklin's lost 2 in a row. They lost to West 31-28 and lost to Pisgah 24-7. Does Franklin turn it around this week, Carson?
No. I got Smoky Mountain controlling the line of scrimmage. Unfortunately for West, I think this is going to come down to a draw out of the hat. So I think Smoky Mountain not only covers 6.5, I think Smoky Mountain wins.
Derek?
I echo Carson there. I think Smoky is on a roll. They're running the football. They're playing decent enough defense to win. And I just don't think Franklin has enough offensively to be able to hang in this one with them. I like Smoky to win outright.
Lewis?
I'm going to pick Smoky too, but didn't we say Franklin's quarterback went down?
No, that's Pisgah.
Yeah, still staying with Smoky, though.
So, interesting fact. Franklin's only 2 losses have been at home. They're on the road this week. Franklin picks up the win. Bounce back.
Wow.
They're taking care of business. They're going to get ahead of Smoky early. Smoky not going to be able to come back. Pat?
Now, when you brought this in, Mike, you said 6.5. Is it 6.5 or 16.5?
It's 6.5. We made an adjustment today.
Okay, good.
Pat doesn't read his text.
That's true. I don't. I try not to because I am driving all day long, and you guys send literally 600 text messages in 5 minutes. I mean, I don't know what the heck is going on.
Tell us how you really feel,
Pat. That's before Pat gets out of bed at 11.
Pat wakes up. If anybody wants to know Pat's schedule, he wakes up 9:30, takes his cats out.
I don't know.
He has cats on a leash. Then he comes in, has coffee.
Well, that's when his maid's fixing him breakfast, right?
Yes. He gets his coffee that's made for him and whatnot. He's got a full barista at his house.
Not what y'all said I was on my personal 15-foot yacht, schedule. And I took my servant helpers with me.
Your 15-story yacht.
11 to 3 is like, I mean, 11 to 3 is quite the work schedule.
Oh, my. Carson would know.
No, I'm done way before 3.
You're on the golf course. Yeah.
That is a joke.
So who you taking there, Pat?
Well, Smoky Mountain is going to get it done. They've just been obviously hammering the ball this season, and people are starting to get a little beat up here toward the end of the season, and mm-hmm. Smoky Mountain is just going to keep, getting the hogs out there, getting the diesel fired up. They're going to get it done.
So next up, we have the 4A championship game, basically, in the MAC conference. TC traveling to Asheville. TC 1-2 in the conference, 4-3 overall. Asheville 2-1 in the conference, 4-2 overall. Asheville's won 3 of the last 4, despite Carson. They lost to Reynolds 30-27, while TC lost to Reynolds 27-10. Like I said, for the MAC 4A championship, Asheville, 9.5-point favorite. Derek?
Yeah. Asheville loses a close one last week to Reynolds. And, you don't believe in moral victories and all this if you're Asheville when you're playing Reynolds. But I think they feel a lot better about themselves as a football program and as a team, losing a close game like that to Reynolds and a Division I caliber player like Max Guest, who's touching the ball every game or every snap. I like Asheville.
And every game.
Yeah, and every game. I mean, he's not gone a game without touching it, as much as we have, or some of y'all have said that he needed the ball more.
Did you see that? Some of y'all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I like Asheville to cover the 9.5. I think they win by, 2 touchdowns against Robertson.
Lewis?
I think there's no question. I'm going to go with TC on this one. Been picking them all year. Why wouldn't they win the conference? Like I said, they were going to be the 4A, the one that matters.
Wow.
Listen, Asheville's my boys. And I think they win and cover. I think they probably win by a couple touchdowns here. Their offense is going to be too much for TC.
Yep.
Pat?
Yeah, no doubt. I'm totally in agreement on the 2 touchdown victory for Asheville here.
Yeah, I'm going to echo all that.
Okay.
I got Asheville as well.
The boys.
So next up we have the game of the year in Haywood County. Tuscola at Pisgah. Guys, Pisgah, 11.5-point favorite. It's going to either be played, I haven't heard for sure, it's either going to be played at Pisgah or at Western Carolina. Lewis, who wins? Who's covered? What's going on?
I mean, Tuscola's had a hard road coming into this. Did pick up a win last week, but I'm going to pick Tuscola.
All right. I think Pisgah wins and covers. They have to win this game to still be in the conference championship battle. I think Pisgah wins. I think they cover, and I think Pisgah wins the draw out of the hat.
Yeah, I'm also in agreement. Pisgah's going to get this done. And they're going to cover. And no problem.
Carson.
I'm going to go. I think rivalry games we've talked about, this is a special one. These games, just like in college football, I'm hoping that 11.5 is just too many points. I'm going to go with Tuscola here and just hopefully it's a classic.
Derek?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a phenomenal football game. I think we talked a little bit about Aaron Clark getting hurt in the first half for Pisgah. But did y'all read was written in the Mountaineer and what Coach Brindley said about their backup?
Give it to us.
He called him a winner. I'm trying to pull the quote up right now. He was just getting after it, just talking about how great the kid was at doing whatever it was that was asked of him. Basically said, I've seen this kid grow up. My son's played football with him since the time that he was little. And again, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't find the quote. But he just said that the kid's a winner, and it fired me up. And I just believe in the Black Bears over in Pisgah. They rose a few spots in my rankings. So I like the Bears to cover on Friday night.
Interesting. Nice split. So next up, the 3A championship in the MAC. Reynolds at Irwin. Reynolds 4-0 in their last four. Conference games, average score 40-11. They beat TC 27-10. Irwin, they won six in a row. They haven't lost since August 30th to Mountain Heritage. They're scoring 50-15 in conference. They beat TC 26-21. This is a pick 'em. And let's go ahead and get the two picks out of the way. Pat, go ahead and make your pick.
Well, we all know I'm going to pick Reynolds. There's no secret there. But I will say this. You know how they've come out these past two games, Reynolds, that is, and they've had that slow start. And then they've been able to come back with, obviously, some great athletics and great play in the second half. That is going to be much tougher to do against the offense of Irwin this week, because Irwin has the chance of getting out too far. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on that defense to get penetration and you know, get in the business of Irwin's offense and disrupt that some way. And then the Rockets are going to have to get to it right out of the gate and not wait till later on to really start clicking.
I'm in total agreement with Pat with the fact that I think Irwin gets out too far ahead in the first half. I don't think Reynolds will be able to make enough second half adjustments, and I think Irwin pulls away. They get the win here. Now, Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, phenomenal. This is why you play. I love that it's coming down to the last week. It's freaking awesome. This is why you play. You know, I talked about it earlier in this segment. Games like this are why you play, and why you coach, and why you go to the stands on Friday night and watch these things. But I saw something over the weekend. It said, you know, there are games of the year for people. And Reynolds is the game of the year for everybody. But for Reynolds, it's just the game of the week, man. They get it every week. So I like ACR to win big on Friday night. I think they roll. I think Max Guest gets going. They win a shootout. I think it's like a 48-34 game, something like that, 48-35, somewhere in there. I think they win by two scores.
Lewis?
You know, all year long, You've been hyping Irwin, and
indeed,
and every week I'm like, you know, he's gonna fall on his face. It's not gonna happen. I'm definitely going with Irwin on this one. I'm gonna finally believe you, Mike.
Listen, this offense is unreal. Their defense, it's not fantastic, but I think on Reynolds' defense they can score enough points, especially early, because Reynolds is a slow starter, that they have enough to hold on. Carson.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go up against Reynolds until Irwin beats them. If you were given points, you know, we talk about it. I think both teams have. I think my pick on this game, I'm picking Reynolds to win. I think both teams get to 40 points.
I love it.
It's gonna be a fantastic game.
Pat, you going to the game?
I cannot. We're heading up to Richmond for Brendan's football game, oh, okay. So I will not be in attendance.
Well. How about that? There you go, guys. Yep. There's the picks. A lot of diversity. I don't think – did we have any games where we all picked the same one?
Nope, Brevard. Well, yeah, so Brevard.
We all picked Brevard.
I did pick Brevard, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Sorry, Brevard.
you better cover. Don't let us down.
Indeed.
Well, exciting. Exciting week. Anybody have a fun question this week?
I've got something for you guys.
Oh, this is a treat.
So, Tuesday is the big day, the big election day. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's the Owen football game. No, it is the election day, too. So, right? We're going to go to the polls and we're going to vote.
That's right.
Every one of us.
So, the United States was founded and the Constitution was ratified in the year 1787, first by Delaware. Obviously, a lot happened between 1787 and 1776. What was the governing document prior to the Constitution?
The First Amendment.
Was it the Magna Carta?
No, but that's Bill part of Rice. That was actually not the Bill of Rights. That was in 1791.
Was that a good guess, though?
No.
It's a Declaration of Independence, right?
No, it wasn't a Declaration of Independence. That was penned on July 2nd of 1776 and delivered to the emissary on July 4th.
It wasn't the Magna Carta?
No, Magna Carta was King John, 1215, a little bit earlier.
So Pat was there. Pat, what was it?
So the United States was governed by the Articles of Confederation.
I knew that.
I knew that.
And the problem that the reason why they got away from it was because there was too decentralized power to the states, meaning that you actually had states operating with different currencies, different widths of road, and you couldn't get any sort of common commerce happening between the states, and that was one of the big problems. So they had to get James Madison involved and come up with a constitution.
They've got a pretty good football team.
Indeed.
So what's the situation with you? You operate on a different currency than most of us.
Agony. I use dollars.
Lots of dollars.
His is more of a volume issue.
It's unbelievable.
For sure.
He operates on a different set of commas than us.
Yes. There you go. For sure. He's definitely in a different bracket.
Carson, this is so not true.
Carson only deals in Bitcoin.
Indeed. Well,
I'm a big Bitcoin guy. I don't know anything about it, but it sounds fun.
It's about to be at its all time high again.
Mm. All right. Well, guys, I appreciate y'all being here. Guys, everybody, thanks for listening.
Yes. Go vote.
Yes. Go vote. Let us know what you guys think. We love interactions with you guys, and let us know where you think we fell straight on our face. And then we usually don't go back and, you know, let people know when we did get stuff right, because we have, it looks like our leaders, Derek Lewis and Mike, have gotten 39 things right this year. So let's see what we got this week, boys.
Indeed. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next iteration of Behind the Beard, WNC.